ever have someone freeze you out of a group text, spread just enough gossip to make you doubt yourself, smile to your face while subtly undermining you behind your back? That's not just drama. It's a form of bullying called relational aggression, and it can wreck friendships, families, and really entire communities if it's left unchecked. And it's not just drama. It's emotional sabotage. Today, I'm breaking down what relational aggression really is, why it's so destructive, and the research-backed strategies to protect yourself and stop the cycle, whether you're dealing with family gatherings, sorority politics, or your neighborhood book club. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Relationships Made Easy podcast, where I give you the exact steps to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships, whether it's with your partner, your family, your friends, or most importantly, yourself. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, psychologist, best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and the bossy Jewish mom you didn't know you needed. Each week, you'll get no-nonsense, research-backed strategies served with humor and love, so you can stop second-guessing yourself and start having the relationships you deserve. You'll always leave knowing exactly what to say and do to shift your relationships for the better. So let's get to it. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Nice to have you here. You know who I am, Dr. Abby Metcalf, and this is another great topic sent in by a listener. So thank you. Again, you can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. And remember, though, I do not give like advice out. It's so unethical, and nor do I have the time. I say with so much love to read a 20, you know, paragraph email and respond. It's not going to happen. So please be respectful of my time. But someone wrote in with, I thought it was a great question, and she, you know, just it was a few sentences about what the problem was, what she was looking to hear about, and you know, relational aggression and what I knew. So here we go. Well, and let's start there. So what is relational aggression? It's relational aggression is really the deliberate use of social relationships to hurt someone. So instead of physical harm or direct verbal attacks, the goal is to damage your reputation, your social standing, or, you know, I think really your sense of belonging. So it can look like a lot of things. It can look like excluding someone from group activities or conversations. You might have been on the other side of this. You know, again, you're suddenly, maybe you're there's a group text going on you're not a part of, spreading rumors or sharing, you know, just concerned gossip about you. And again, I'm going to talk about if you're the person doing this also today, I say with love, you know, we're all imperfect humans trying our best. It can look like the silent treatment or deliberately ignoring someone, backhanded compliments and jokes at your expense. Definitely like recruiting allies to take sides against you. All of this. We psychologists first started studying this in kids and teens, okay, as you might imagine, but it happens at every age. I am outraged consistently and upset consistently when I see this stuff come up with my clients. Research shows it's just as prevalent in adults. Do you love that? We just learn to dress it up in polite language or humor, so it often flies under the radar, but it's just as prevalent with adults as it is with teens. So if you, you know, maybe we're starting to listen thinking, oh, this is for like high school kids, it's not. And again, it's not, like I said earlier, it's not just drama, it is emotional sabotage. So where you see it most, So and again, relational aggression can happen anywhere, but I think there's some hot spots that I have seen and people have written in about. Definitely, and I will now go to younger folks, Greek life, but any kind of social club. When I know I've had clients who went to Wharton, Harvard Business School, Columbia Business School, you know, like some of the top business schools in the country, and there's like these little clubs around each one. I've seen this a lot in those clubs. There's an incredible, oh my God, status, any club really, or place where status, popularity, and belonging are the currency relational aggression becomes a way to protect the social rank. Okay. And so I'm not just calling out MBAs, but I have to tell you, I think it's been pretty bad. And it's years and years because of the kinds of clients I see and the businesses I work in. Wow. I think I've seen it there more than anywhere. And I hate to say it, but this is mostly men. So there's a lot of one-upmanship and excluding people and all that stuff. And I know people think, oh, it's just women who do this. It's just like sororities or something. And it's not. So that's a place. Obviously, in families, sibling alliances. I mean, in my family, we had, a bunch of siblings. There was always alliances. There still are. In-law turf wars, extended family cold wars over things like maybe holidays or parenting styles. I mean, come on. There's so much of this in families. Friend groups, any kind of friend group, doesn't have to be a social group. Gatekeeping who's invited to what. I see it in religious institutions. Yes, I know. I've heard about it in churches, in temples, in mosques. I can't think of anywhere where I haven't heard it showing up. I know. Workplaces, obviously, and I have workplace therapy now with Dr. Abby Metcalf by the time you're listening to this, but I'm going to just say that also, being left off of key emails or meeting invites, things like that. I'll probably do something like this topic in the workplace therapy podcast. And if you don't know about that yet, I do, again, workplace therapy with Dr. Abby Metcalf. I just do work relationships, and it's much shorter than this podcast. So it's just like a one point with a quick tip. I just did like workplace anxiety and just my 5-step process for that. And that's it. I don't give all the pieces, all the background, all the context. And so if you just want to hear about work, listen there. And here's a kicker, right? So coming back to the gender ideals of this, research does, I'm going to say suggest that while women may use relational aggression more often in social groups, again, men use it too, especially in competitive settings. Like then they use it way more than women, like sports teams, again, corporate politics. I think that's why I've seen it in these MBA groups, alumni groups, things like that. So I just want to say that again. And it's really damaging because as humans, we are wired for connection. Okay. And believe it or not, there's plenty of research showing that being socially excluded activates the same regions of the brain that process physical pain. Yes, that's why being iced out of a group text can hurt as much as a punch in the gut can hurt. Okay, so, and there's a lot of damage. It includes things like, increased anxiety and depression, lower self-esteem and feelings of self-worth, lower feelings of self-efficacy, that you can do something. There's erosions of trust within whatever community that is. A constant feeling of walking on eggshells. I mean, I could go on. And I've talked many times on this podcast about trust, specifically something I call the trust triad, if you remember. So basically there are, and I'll link to the past episodes on that, but basically there are three things that make up trusting someone from the research: integrity, competence, and goodwill. Okay. Integrity, meaning your honesty, the person's really honest with you. Competence, meaning that someone is competent to they show up on time, they follow through. If they say they're going to do something, they do it, that kind of thing. And then goodwill, meaning that you believe they have your best interests at heart and they have your back. And relational aggression attacks all three. So when someone's gossiping about you or excluding you, they're eroding the integrity of the group. They're calling your competence into question and showing you zero goodwill. So that is, to me, why it's so unbelievably damaging in families. And you might, again, be suddenly noticing like, wow, my family when I was growing up was like this. And you wonder why you have trust issues now. Hello? Like, it doesn't take Freud, right, to figure that out. So let's talk about the reframe. I'm going to try to get the order I want to do things. Let's talk about the reframe. The most common reactions to relational aggression are behaviors like people pleasing or fawning. Remember, fawning is another like a trauma response. It's like people pleasing on crack. It's, you know, major. Or it's often people pleasing or that, or aggression on your own part. Okay. I see, you know, that kind of thing back. But you can't fix relational aggression by trying harder to be liked or by being mean in return. It's not going to do a thing. I know right now you're like, well, Abby, those are my only two. What else am I supposed to use? The problem isn't that you need to change who you are. The problem is that you're dealing with someone willing to weaponize connection, right? So you changing who you are is getting you nowhere. So you know what? Let me talk next about why people engage. Why are people like this? Why are they engaging in relational aggression? And it usually comes down to a few things. Obviously, top is insecurity. This is a very insecure person. I mean, why else do they need to submarine someone else unless you're insecure? They see you as a threat to their standing, or they're jealous of you in some way. Absolutely top. I don't care what else is going on. This is an insecure person. I guarantee there is no other thing this could be. I don't care how arrogant they seem, how full of themselves they seem, how confident they seem. They are 100% insecure. Because I will tell you when you are, and you know this, when you're secure, you do not feel a need to bash anyone because you're secure. Why would you need, you don't have to worry about competition or anything else. You really don't. The second reason is it's a learned behavior. They grew up in a home or a community where gossip and exclusion were tools for control. Another reason is conflict avoidance, for sure. You know, rather than address an issue directly, they work around you socially. They also usually have a fear of exclusion, believe it or not. They target you before they become the target. It's which is really just insecurity dressed up as something else, right? Okay, so what to do if you're the target? There's basically five steps I have my clients follow if they've been the target of some kind of relational aggression. And you better believe this has come up many, many, many times over the years with my clients. So I've gotten pretty good at this and what works and what doesn't. And these aren't about being perfect in the moment. I want to say that. They're about shifting the power back to you and protecting your well-being. Okay? So I just want to say that first. So step one is you have to name it to yourself. The first move is recognizing what's happening. You know, when you identify it as relational aggression, you shift from what's wrong with me, what did I do wrong, to, oh, this is them. This is a tactic. Do you see the difference? And that's, oh, my clients always come to me with first, like, oh, I don't know what I did. I think I said this thing and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, this has nothing to do with you. I mean, it has to do with you and the fact that the other person's insecure about something you have or do, but this is them. This isn't about, again, you, I'm wrong, I did something bad. No one should be treating you this. I don't care what you did. Let's say you did do something horrible. I've had people act crappy towards me. Do you know what I do? I don't exclude them or do this whole bashing thing. I go say something to them. I say, hey, you know, what's going on? I heard this. Is that true? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we talk directly. Now, if someone was then really still horrible to me, I would probably stop talking to them. But that's a very different thing. That's not relational aggression. It's just my then choosing, like, oh, I'm not going to hang around these kind of people. I wouldn't then make it my whole reason of living to go bash them or go after them or create a fake account on IG to stalk them or anything. I write those people off and I'm done. The biggest take back of power I can have is to never give them another moment of headspace in my brain, right? That's the most powerful thing I can do. It's what I do. So when you name it as a tactic, naming it gives you psychological distance, which, you know, this isn't your character flaw. It's someone else's unhealthy way of trying to gain control. And as I've mentioned many, many, many times here on the podcast, the research shows that simply labeling a feeling, an experience, reduces the emotional intensity because it calms the amygdala and it re-engages your prefrontal cortex. So that means you're going to feel less hijacked and more grounded. All right. So that's number one. And if you only do that, you're going to be ahead of the game. Okay. So I'm giving you a few steps here, but just do one of them or two of them. You're going to be ahead of the game. But number two, I do think is really important. Don't feed the drama. I know there is such a pull to fight fire with fire. It's so strong. I know, but gossiping back or excluding them in return, you're tossing kerosene on the flame. Not only does this escalate the conflict, but it also erodes your own sense of integrity, your own sense of who you are. Like, really? You're going to become a shitty person now? Like, isn't that the whole thing? You're trying to prove you're not? Like, because they're saying bad things about you and you're like, I'm not a bad person. I didn't do that. I'm a fabulous person. And then you go and do crappy things. Do you see the problem here? And then again, because you are acting out of alignment in your own integrity, it creates all kinds of other problems. I promise you it does. You will not feel better long term. It is like being upset and eating a pint of Häagen-Dazs. You feel better for a second while that creamy ice cream is going down. It's so good, but it's not going to feel good long term. You're gonna gain weight. You're going to be too big for your pants. You're going to have poor self-esteem. And that's really what happens here too. It erodes, again, your own sense of integrity. So instead, you want to practice what I call, either loving detachment, or let's call it strategic disengagement. How's that? Ooh, I just came up with that. I'm going to write that down so I remember to put it in the blog. Strategic disengagement. Okay. This means choosing not to engage in a toxic exchange. I'm sure I didn't make that up, by the way. Someone has probably said that before. Strategic disengagement. But anyway, you're not going to engage in toxic exchanges, right? And I would say limit your venting to one trusted person if you need to get it out, and focusing your energy on solutions. Think of it as starving the behavior of the attention it thrives on. Think of it that way. So, right, one person, speak to one person, maybe vent a little, and then move from it. Do not engage. Do not extend the drama of what's happening. Step three would be to use direct conversation when it's safe. When you're in a situation where it feels safe, calmly call out the behavior without over-explaining. Keep your words simple, factual, less is more here, right? The Armani, Giorgio Armani, not the Versace way of doing things. Try something like, I noticed I wasn't included in the meeting. Was there a reason? Or I heard a comment that surprised me. Can you clarify what you meant? That's my favorite one I use. So when I hear that someone was talking crap about me, I generally say, hey, I heard something that was attributed to you that really surprised me. Can you say more about what you might have meant or why maybe it was mistaken? And then I tell them. And I will say the people that told me and all that, like if you're going to come to me and tell me that someone's talking crap about me, and unless you're trying to extend the gossip, then you know what I mean? Like, to me, if you hear someone bad-mouthing me, I hope you say to them, wow, I really don't agree with that. I hope you've said something to Abby directly about it. I hope you protect my name when I'm not in the room and don't just listen and, get out the popcorn, right? At the very least, to say, wow, that's surprising. I'm surprised Abby would act that way. And then tell them, like, you're going to need to say something to her. I'm not going to keep this from her. You need to talk to her. Like, that is what I hope you would do. But if you don't like me already and you're telling me to like extend the drama, because that's exciting you to tell me, then I'm really glad I'm throwing your name in. Great. Let's all get out there. Let's all have it on the same page. So if you support me, you won't care that I told because you would have already said something. And if you don't support me, then I'm calling you out too. And that person can go yell at you now. And for now on, maybe you're going to gossip about me behind my back. I'm not going to have to hear about it. Great. I'd rather not. So, you just have to decide. But if you can say, I heard this comment, it surprised me. Can you clarify what you meant? There's no accusation. There's no loaded language, just curiosity and clarity. And it really interrupts the aggressor's ability to hide behind any subtlety. Do you see that? That's what I'm doing here. That's the gold I'm giving you. It really interrupts their ability to do that. The I'm confused, you know, is always a great way to go because you're not attacking. You're putting yourself one down saying, I'm really confused. You know, so-and-so said you said this, that you made this comment, you know, or you heard it yourself. You can say, you know, I'm feeling a little confused. You know, in book club, you said X and Y about me and they, you know, and it felt like really digging it. And I thought we had a good relationship. So I'm surprised. And they might say, I wasn't digging. I was just teasing. And you can say, okay, you know, for future, that doesn't work for me. It feels like you're digging at me and I don't personally like it. So it's not improving our relationship or making me feel closer to you. It's making me feel very far from you and disconnected. If that's what you're going for, mission accomplished. If it's not what you're going for, I'd really appreciate you stop. You know, you not do it anymore so we could have a more, you know, open and connected relationship. Again, very straightforward, not attacking, talking about yourself. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
And this is a good time. So I know that knowing the right thing to say can be difficult. So I made a free download for this week, and it's my relationship aggression response scripts. So I'm giving you a lot of scripts in the podcast today, but I want you to have language ready to go. So you can always download that below the video if you're watching on YouTube. You know what to do if you're watching on YouTube. Leave me a comment, say hi, like, subscribe, all the things. And if you're over on the website, if you're looking for this, it's over on the website, abbymetcalf.com under this, right? And all the research, everything's linked there. All my past episodes, everything's linked to whatever I talk about. But I did something so you'll have language ready to go, something you can come back to and not listen to the whole podcast again or read the blog again. All right. Step four, right? Aren't we on four? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Strengthen. What I have my clients do is to strengthen other connections. So because relational aggression really isolates you by design, right? It's by design. So the antidote is intentionally building other sources of support, not against that person. Don't go there, just in the relationship. So this could mean, you know, maybe deepening ties with colleagues outside the toxic circle. It could mean investing in friendships that feel reciprocal, leaning on supportive family members, all those things. I always say, like, when you're focused on what you do want, it's less, you don't have to worry so much about what you don't want. And if you're so worried maybe about, what I find is that people are really worried about giving up people, you know, that loss that you feel like, oh, who am I going to have left? There's going to be no friends. There's going to be no whatever. But if you start building other relationships, then letting go of this one is going to feel so much easier. And by the way, it'll be more natural because you'll be spending more time with other people. You'll have less time for this person or this group or this whatever. So I'm always about that. Social belonging is one of the strongest buffers against any kind of psychological stress. We know this from the research. So you don't need everyone in your corner. You just need someone. So who is that someone going to be? And again, that could be, it's interesting, you know, and this is not a thing to join. You do not have to join, but my One Love Collective online on Substack, I wanted a community because I do think there's so much negativity out there and so much of people not supporting each other. And I thought, wow, if people have been listening to me for a while, they know how I think. And if they like how I think and are listening, that means they think this way too, or they want to be this way. So if I created a community of these like-minded people, so I just created my own community. Thank you. And I've done that before with book clubs. I've created my own when there was a toxic book club in the neighborhood. I just was like, whoops, not for me. I've made my own 12-step meetings places. I've started my own just sort of coffee afterwards group, you know, after a meeting. Like, I am someone who, you know, has been like, and I usually start with one or two people. It's not like I start with a million. And that's like my online, my One Love Collective. There's not millions of us in there, but there's enough, you know, it's really nice. And I'm watching people give responses to each other that are like-minded. And it's so beautiful. It brings tears to my eyes. So it's a really supportive community. People are really sharing things. And it feels good that people feel safe enough to do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what you're looking for somewhere. Okay. So, and if you can create it yourself, do it. All right. Number five is you got to set boundaries, right? You know, I'm going to talk about boundaries. You know, I'm going to, come on. You know, I've been talking like the brave boundary method, right? You state your boundary. You state it once, and then maybe you restate it one more time. Like, to me, I don't like to repeat boundaries, but I guess I get that you might repeat it one time, but that's it. Never more than another time. A calmly, with no justifications, no reasons why, but then you have to follow through with the consequences, with what you said, the response, with what, I hate to call it a consequence, sounds like you're punishing them, but with your response, it's all about you. If you continue excluding me from emails, I'm going to need to bring it directly to the supervisor. And then if it happens again, you do it. No threats. Don't, nothing. Just do it. Just consistent follow through. Boundaries aren't about changing the aggressor. They're about showing yourself that your needs and dignity matter. And it will change the outside circumstances if you stick to them. So, and it's really how you thrive in situations. You focus on what you're doing instead of what they're doing. The power to change and take new action, that's yours. You're not a victim. Okay? I know. So relational aggression really thrives on making you doubt yourself and keeping you small. And so the five steps I just gave you are about reclaiming your footing. You don't have to win them over. You don't have to fix their behavior. What you can do is protect your peace. What you can do is lean into healthier connections. And you can stand tall on your boundaries. And by the way, if you haven't bought my Boundaries Made Easy book yet, or the Boundaries Made Easier workbook, if boundaries are an issue for you, I don't know what to say. Just get them already. just spend the money. It's a great way to support me. But beyond that, it's going to support yourself. There's so much information in there. Look at the reviews. They're excellent. You know, I work real hard on these books. And if you like the podcast, you'll always love my books because I give it away. You know, I give you, here it is. Here's all the steps. The books just have even more nitty gritty, more hand holding. But again, but you don't have to either. Stay here and just do what I'm telling you. The moment you stop internalizing their tactics and start standing in your own clarity, the power dynamic shifts. And that's where your real strength lies. Okay. And I want to be clear, you might not be able to change the group. Your real power is deciding whether you'll stay in a system that rewards that kind of behavior. And I do want to say, if you witness it, if you see the relational aggression, I hope you speak up in the moment. Hey, let's not talk about him when he's not here. Right? I hope you redirect conversations away from gossip. I hope you include the person being excluded. I hope you model the kind of group dynamic you want to see, right? I really do. And if you're the one doing it, if I'm talking and saying all this and you're like, oh my God, I'm if you're feeling embarrassed right now, first of all, don't. Like, the self-awareness is an amazing thing and beautiful and wonderful and good for you. What I want you to do, if you're the one, if you've noticed that you've done this or that you've sometimes leaned towards this, number one, notice when you feel the urge to exclude or gossip. Just notice it. Notice what's happening. And ask yourself, am I trying to solve a problem or am I trying to hurt someone? Because for sure you're trying to hurt someone, right? And that might help you too, because you're the lying part of your brain, your ego, tells you you're solving a problem. If this is you, I want you to practice direct, respectful conflict resolution. I did a great episode a long time ago called The 5 Steps to Resolving Conflict in Any Relationship. I'll link to that below, or you can do a keyword search on my website for The 5 Steps to Resolving Conflict in Any Relationship, and that'll come up, all right? And follow those. So I want to wrap up by saying, relational aggression thrives in the shadows. It really does. The second you shine a light on it, whether you're the target, whether you're the witness, or even the one who's done it, it really starts to lose its power. You don't have to fix the whole group, but you can choose to show up differently. And that's really what I want you to do. Okay. So as always, if this is an issue for you, if this is a topic that really was resonating, I have a Therapy to Go bundle, and my online Substack One Love Collective, they get this included in the $8 a month that they pay. But if you would like to just get, if you don't want to commit to an ongoing $8 a month, which would be, again, like every therapy bundle, plus live Q&As with me, plus this supportive group. But if that's not something you want, or you just don't want the $8 a month, you could pay $10 and get the bundle, and I'll tell you everything that's in it right now. And it includes the free giveaway. Okay, so you don't have to get the free giveaway and the bundle. It'll all come together. But if you just want the free giveaway, again, the relational aggression response scripts, you can download that easily. And if you want the bundle, I have, there's a bunch in there. One thing is the Brave Boundary Method, relational aggression edition. So I kind of talk about boundaries related to this specifically. I have something called the Circle of Safety Map. It's really to identify who's in your circle and who needs a gate, you know, who needs to get out or to be blocked in some way. I have a guided visualization for this one, which I'm really excited about. I call this social armor. It's kind of like how to get yourself in a good state before you walk into these kind of groups and put yourself in a good mindset. Of course, there's journaling prompts. I always have. And there's a relational aggression self-check quiz. So all of that is part of the Therapy to Go bundle. I think that's it for today. Is that enough? I hope it's enough. I think I covered this pretty well today. All right, that is it. And you know, as always, I'm so grateful you're here. I love that we have this relationship. I love that we have this time. It really is always my favorite part of the week when I'm either writing the podcast or recording it or doing something. But there's something special when I'm recording because I'm thinking of you. I like this person that wrote in. I'm thinking of her like right now as I do this. So it feels good. I appreciate the connection, especially in today's world. I really appreciate the connection. So I hope you're doing your part to make the world a better place, to make your own life a better place, to make your family a better place by, you know, following the tips and tools I give. All right. Mwah. I love you so much. Yeah. All right. And I'll talk to you real soon. Thank you for spending time with me today. If you're loving what you're learning here, come join my One Love Collective. It's my private community where we take these conversations even deeper. You'll get a ton of bonus content, live Q&As with me, guided visualizations, journaling prompts, scripts, and an incredible community of like-minded people ready to support you as you create more ease and joy in all your relationships. It's all waiting for you at abbymedcalf.com or right on Substack. I'll see you next week.